Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are, last week of August. This is going to air on the 28th, Wednesday the 28th of August, and getting ready to head into the fall. And I know that's a beautiful time up in the New England area, and it's a beautiful time in Colorado.
Yeah.
It's one of our favorite seasons, just because of the we like the cooler weather, but we like the brilliance of the colors and the feel of the change. And of course, you know, Linda and I both enjoy football, so we get
right.
to watch some games, go to some live games, as well as just watch it on periodically on TV. We've learned, you know, in my past life, I could get intense about watching, you know, watching football, or even you know, when you have a home team, you know, like I'm sure you have the Patriots there, we have the Broncos, and we used to have the Bears, Chicago Bears, and Linda actually still prefers the Bears over everybody else. So we were around in Chicago when they won the Super Bowl.
How fun!
And they were incredible. One of the best, literally the best defenses in history of NFL. Mm-hmm. And we actually got to see them live, and they were so good at what they did that it was incredible to watch it, you know. But I could, you know, I would always, hey, I want to watch the game. So I'd get upset, you know, if my team lost and stuff, you know, and God had to work in my heart to say, you know, I know that recreation is good. I know that you enjoy this, but you're letting it become too impactful in your soul and you got to release this. And he said two things. If your wife or your family or you have other things to do other than watch a game, I want you to go do that and be okay with it. You know, and don't be thinking about it.
That was probably a hard one to take.
Don't
right?
be thinking, really do it. And then two is that don't let your life be impacted by whether your team wins or loses. You know, it's just a game, and it's not impacting you really. I mean, I know you can would like them to win, that'd be fine, but don't get impacted. So I had to work at that. And by the way, that's another piece of abiding is that as God brings things to you like that, hey, I'd like to heal you in this area. Let's spend some time together on it. And here's some scripture and here's some processes for you to go through and get Linda involved. And it's not about, remember he says this is in 2 Corinthians 3, don't read scripture as law. Because it'll kill you, but rather let life come to you through the word. My spirit, my words are spirit and life. So it's not like I shouldn't do this anymore.
Right.
So I'm going to work. I'm not going to do it. And God says, no, this is a hard thing. I need to work with your heart. Let's process it through. I got to change your heart. And by the way, Psalm 103 says, you know, forget not all his benefits. He says, I'll restore the destructive pieces of your soul, not have you manage it better.
Right.
But rather, I'll heal it up. So this issue, Rich, with your sports is a soul issue. So stay with me. I'm gonna heal it up. And so it's not like, all right, I'll do better at it, but I really would rather still do it.
Right.
How about if I just give you freedom where you don't have to do it and you don't even think about it anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Not that you don't enjoy it. When you can, you do. That's fine. And so I had to stay with it and work through them. And see, abiding, I stayed with it until I experienced it.
Yeah. And what you're talking about there is experience in the fullness of experience, not just walking it out physically, but walking it out in your soul, on the soul level, experiencing it. Because I do think there are times when, you know, God's shown us something. And like this case, he said, okay, this is what I want you to do. And you may be acting in obedience, but your heart hasn't caught up to what your actions are yet.
Yeah.
And if we stay there, I think a lot of people get stuck there. Well, I'm doing what God told me to do. And isn't that pharisaical, right? I'm doing it, but the heart isn't there. And so that's where that abiding piece comes in. The call and abiding is to staying until your heart catches up to the obedience that he's calling you to, right?
Yeah. And this is where, you know, we read in James 1, you know, 5-8, seek wisdom. Right prior to that, he says, count it all joy, brothers, when you experience trials of any kind, because it's a testing of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that God will show you his way of leading you to the experience of it is to reveal the truth of it.
Right.
And then have you have a heart for recognizing that truth. So like, for example, when I was working through this, if my team lost, I'd be kind of mad that night.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day I'd still kind of be mad, you know, and I knew I was a little bit agitated and frustrated, and I kind of knew why. And so God says, okay, let's work through this. And I am. And I think I'm making progress.
Mm-hmm.
But the next morning when I wake up, I'm still kind of edgy.
Right.
And God says, well, the truth of it is it's not truly healed yet.
Right.
So stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And have a heart for the truth. Don't deny the truth. Yeah, you're doing better at it, but it's not there yet.
Right.
And that's what you're trying to say is that, well, yeah, but I didn't watch the game and I didn't watch the news about it. And yeah, I knew that they lost. So I'm doing the right things. And God says,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nice. But where's your soul at?
Right, right.
You know, well, I'm not there yet. I said, well, yeah, you're not there.
We're
and he said, by the way,
restore joy.
he and this is cool, and this is something that I learned. He said, Rich, there's no condemnation there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what's wrong with you. Why aren't you fixing it faster? It's just not fixed yet. Just stay with me. If you stay with me, I will bring healing of it. And mm-hmm. he did, and he does, and you know what he does, because why? It's a truth. So that, mm-hmm. you know, here we go into, you know, the next season of football. Well, I've already got past that, so it doesn't bother me anymore. Not because I work at it better.
Right.
It doesn't bother me. Why?
Right.
I healed you of that.
Healed and restored
I healed
that.
You of that. And that's how abiding works, see? And when he says, okay, hey, you're ready for something, I want to highlight something for you, and I want you to spend some time here on it. Mm-hmm. Okay. My heart is always absolutely hallelujah. Why? Because I'm going to freedom.
Right.
And my life is way better because of it. Mm-hmm. And particularly as we're dealing with these issues of conflict. So we've been talking about people that bring conflict, and we sorted them into groups. Ones that we can't get to, they're dead, or we don't know where they are. We don't have anything to do with them. The ones we do have current process, you know, can you reconcile, make an effort, either yes or no. If you can't, dust your feet off. If there are people around you, you got to set up boundaries, which we talked about yesterday. And you can be resolved and you can be at peace even with people around you that are keep hurting you as I show you how to live that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have you do it, and you can be at peace with it, and you will, and it's resolved. Okay, well, let's go back to the list that we can't get to.
Right.
And then we'll carry it forward. But he says there's a necessary thing for you to work through so that this can be resolved for you as well. So go to Philippians 3, 11 to 15.
Sure. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind.
Yeah. So he says, you know, and Paul, it's so beautiful, again, you know, when you think of Paul writing this. Well, there's one thing I learned. Mm-hmm. You know, and I keep thinking, well, wait a minute. Didn't you write most of the New Testament? You know, yes. What do you mean one thing you learned? And, you know, and I asked God about that. And he said, well, of all the things that Paul learned, mm-hmm. one thing that he really received that's a life truth for everybody mm-hmm. is to let go of the things that already have happened and press forward to the high calling of Christ Jesus.
Right.
Life forward. Life is forward. Mm-hmm. Rich, you can't go back and change what happened.
Right.
You'd like to. And a lot of people spend a lot of time in guilt. And I mm-hmm. did when I went bankrupt. If only I would have done this. Mm-hmm. I should have done this. And look, how awful am I? And you live in guilt and you rehearse it.
Right.
I wish I could change it. If I would have changed, I would have been better. And God says, well, the truth is you can't. mm-hmm. So I got to get you to go to freedom and mm-hmm. release it and move forward.
Right.
His life is forward. And guess what? My life, which we'll see here as we go further, is covenant. What I really mm-hmm. want you to do is get ready to step into the covenant, into blessing. And you're stuck here in the past. Mm-hmm. I got to let you past it. So you have all these people that you've listed that are in the past. You can't get to them. There's no discussion of reconciliation. There's not even a boundary to be set up because you're not around them at all. They're not
right.
around you. They're either gone, different city. You've never seen them in 10 years. They're dead. There's nothing you can do with it. And God says, well, I need you to let it go. Mm. And not... okay, fine, I'll say I let it go. He says, no, let it go. In other words, mm-hmm. you don't even think about it anymore at all. You don't think
right.
about it anymore at all. Well, you wrote it down, so you're still mm-hmm. thinking about it. So then he says what you do is you go through each one of them. What did they do to hurt you? And that's okay. You're angry about it. That's okay. But now, since there's nothing you can do about this, mm-hmm. you can't talk about reconciliation. There's not a boundary to do. I want to resolve it for you by releasing it. And you pray with, you know, God letting me deliver this to you. Forget the things that lay behind.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the power to release this. Let me stop thinking about it. Let me resolve
right.
it, and I know it. And by the way, if you can't, keep talking to me about it. And, mm-hmm. and the question God would say is, what is it about this that you can't let this one go?
Mm-hmm.
And as you're honest with that, what it does is it takes you deeper into the truth of the reason you can't let it go.
Right.
And here's what usually it goes to, is... well, actually, I'm kind of mad at you, God.
Mm.
Why? Well, how could you allow this to happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Or how come?
If you were good, how
could
I? If
you were good, you know, why right. does this thing have happened to me? And shouldn't you have prevented it from happening to me? Because you have mm-hmm. the power to, but it did happen to me, and they did hurt me, and I still don't get it. And it seems to me that mm-hmm. either you don't really love me or you don't care about me or you purposely had this awful thing happen and it still kind of bothers me. So what I'm really bothered by is a deeper question.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, okay, that's okay. He's, but now the question is, are you willing to go with me to let me show you the truth of that?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this is something that everybody has to learn is that the thought, particularly in the Christian circle, is that they say God is in control
mm-hmm.
And God is all powerful. Okay, you put those two things together. If God controls everything and he's all powerful, well, then how can bad stuff happen to me?
Right.
If that means he's either not that good or he wants me to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Which inside, see, you can't, accept that per se, because you still are suffering with it. You still are bothered by it. You're still irritated by this. And even though you say you're not going to be, you are, you know. And so God says, well, let me walk with you, and maybe I need to teach you that the world is under the control of Satan, and it's kill, steal, and destroy, and entropy, and bad things are going to happen. And by the way, you're included in that bad stuff. And Jesus even said, in the world, you're going to have what?
Trouble.
Trouble. You're not exempt from trouble, from people hurting you, from self-centered people coming after you, from self-centered people doing stupid things that draw you into a ridiculous situation where you got to deal with this. And it's not like I can just ignore it. They drew me into, you know, a legal thing, or they drew me into a work thing, or they drew me into a conflict at church, and I'm dealing now with the elders or this, or the leadership of a school, or, you know, whatever. And I don't want to do that. He said, yeah, I know.
Right.
But I can resolve it for you. Because remember, you can't go back and fix it. And you really can't deal with these people anymore because they're gone. If you could recognize, I didn't purposely do that to you. But because you're in the world, I don't exempt you from that.
Right.
And you're going to be subject to the things of the world, just like everybody else. And that includes believers that have it. So I try to use the analogy of, a person has a broken arm and comes to know Christ. Well, now they're a Christian with a broken arm. So it's not that because you became a Christian, everything goes to perfection. But rather, you're in an imperfect world. You're going to get whacked by this imperfect world. You have the enemy that's trying to hurt you. You have self-centered people that are coming after you to do things that don't make any sense at all. And see, because we don't do it that way, we can't fathom how somebody could even think of doing that that way and hurt us to that level. And God says, yeah, I understand. And it could be a parent, grandparent, siblings, aunts and uncles in your past life abused you in some way. Could be just emotional abuse, berated you. I have people all the time that are dealing through self-image issues because their dad, and who is now dead, just berated them their whole life. And they're mad about that. And how could you let that happen to me? But I can't go talk to that person anymore. They're gone. And God says, yeah, you got to let it go. I'll heal you if you have a heart to go of that issue, but you got to let that go and let the things that lay behind. So you go through and you pray. I do understand what happened, but I'm going to pray that you give me the power to release it. And I stop thinking about it. And basically, I can take it off my list. Why? Well, you don't think about it anymore. It's literally not there anymore. It's gone. And you have to stay with it until it's literally gone. And he says, as you let go, I want you to focus on forward. Okay, so go to Psalm 111 and read that. This is kind of cool how they go together.
Sure. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever.
He says that what I want to move you into is, I know you're stuck here in things that have bothered you, and you haven't let them go. And you're living in this heaviness of that. I want to release you of that so that I can perform and have you experience my wonderful works. He said, I'm ever mindful of the covenant, which means I'm committed to deliver you the covenant. I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. And I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, which, by the way, is part of our understanding is that, so the ones that hurt me and aren't willing to resolve it, you're going to make sure that justice is served. Yes. You can count on it. Now, by the way, not the way you want to.
Right.
I'll do it. And by the way, in my timing, but you can trust it. It's going to be there because the covenant's true. But how about if you get to the place of blessing?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, why? Because I need you to be blessed so you can bless others. That's my heart. It's a flow-through process. If you get stuck in the past, you're not even moving toward blessing at all.
Right.
And you're stopping the expansion of my kingdom because you're going to be used to bless somebody else, but I got to get you past this being stuck.
Right.
So let's go. Let's go to the covenant. He said, I will command the covenant, and my works are going to be done in truth and with justice and with where I lead you to. And he said, the beginning of this is to have fear for me. In other words, instead of being afraid and angry about what happened, why don't we let that go? And let's go to begin to trust what I'm going to do is lead you to the covenant. It's the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord, which is what? I'm willing to go. See, you see how that works?
Right.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, you can't go down the path if you're stopped with this past. And God says, let's release that. And he said, the way to release it is pray for it. Don't think about it anymore. When it comes up, give it to me. You know, let your thoughts be given to me. And then what I really need you to do, and this is how you get unstuck from this, is start to focus on the path forward of the blessing that I want to give you. And if you get active in discerning my will forward, you're spending way more energy on that, and the distant gets further and further away. You forget it, and literally why? Because you're replacing it with the good stuff going forward, which is where I need your energy to go. So you take that list and you say, okay, I can't do anything about it. It happened. I recognize it happened. I may have to deal with a deeper question is how come you allowed this to happen? And God said, that's okay. Let's go deal with that. But if you get past that, then it would give me the power to let it go. And God says, I will. And he says, while I'm doing that, the most important thing you can do is go forward. Let's start working on resolving the issues of your life now. So what are all the things that are not resolved for you? And these are things like, you know, should I move? What about this business? What do I do with this church? What do I do about this? What do I do about that? Or this thing is going on. I need resolution on what I call the clutter list or the things that we talked about that in Christ Clutter in a Calendar.
Right.
Things that I don't have resolution to. He said, yeah, let's get go. Let's go on that. And you'll start to see me at work. Guess what? You'll forget all about this. And work toward it and let's go. And he said, if you don't, you're going to stay stuck because the only way to get unstuck is you got to start moving. Well, which direction? Forward. Let's go.
Right.
And let's start working on that. By the way, you'll see me at work. I'll encourage you. I'll convince you. I'll persuade you. You'll get excited. And when you get excited and have hope, all that other stuff just goes away, and they'll come off your list. And that you look at resolution so that literally, remember, you've made a list of people you can't even get with. You made a list of people you're reconciling. You've got a list of people you're setting boundaries with. He said, when I resolve all of those, and now you're going forward, you're going to live in freedom. Now, by the way, what does it take? Abiding.
Right.
Stay with me, experience it all, and think about what he just did. We dealt with your conflicts. He said, Now, I'm going to walk you into discerning my will. And you've made a lot of progress on this, on these conflicts. As you start to discern my will, the fear of the Lord, it'll all start coming together for you. And you'll start living in freedom. And guess what? While you're discerning my will forward, guess what? You're going to have more people hurt you.
Right.
And it happens all the time. And it could be, you know, deep situations with business or with church or with family. Or it just could be, you know, people that, you know, let's say are, you know, we have vendors that are serving us, doing stuff around our house, and, you know, they treat us poorly, or they don't do something well, or they overcharge us, you know, and you're mad at them and have conflict with them. But God says, okay, let's resolve it. Get, you know, I'll have you get that one done and, you know, go get somebody new. And you don't end having conflict.
Right. Well, and the other thing is we can also be the source of that conflict.
Yeah.
And so needing to be, you know, willing to process and sometimes even to initiate reconciliation when we have been the ones to offend or to be self-centered or those, I mean, that is all very real too.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah. And then what, you know, how do you do that to keep your relationships healthy? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the answer is let go of the past and work it through till you truly do let go of it. Mm-hmm. You take it off your list. And that original list that you made, basically, it's all gone because every single one is resolved. The ones in the past, you've let go. The ones that could reconcile, you reconcile. The ones that wouldn't reconcile, you dusted your feet off of. The ones that you couldn't dust your feet off fully because you had to be around them, you set boundaries. They're gone. Everything's resolved. Mm-hmm. Now, guess what? You got new ones. But he says, really, what I want you to do is spend most of your time going to the covenant. And I'll resolve all this stuff for you and get you to the right place for me to bless you because you're going to be a blessing to others, which is how the covenant works. So you go back to Psalm 111 and you go into the depth of that and you start praying that, okay, show me that you're going to command blessing. What does that look like? And you move to a different place. And see, abiding, it isn't a full, okay, you're done and there's something brand new. Sometimes they merge into something next.
Yes.
Is that, okay, now that you're here and you're experienced this, let's go here.
And they build on one another,
and they build,
right?
And they build on each other. And it's quite fun, you know. So, and remember, and this is important, remember when Jeremiah, we said he ate the words and found joy in them. That's right. That's always the question. While you're abiding and learning through this, even the struggle of the relationships and the conflicts and the hurt, you enjoy being with God because he's given you life and you're getting hope and you're getting excitement. That's an indicator you're abiding. If you're intellectual and still studying and trying to perform, you're not really abiding. So we'll keep praying and we'll keep going as we finish this up over the next couple of sessions and help everybody understand how beautiful it is. Thank you, Father, for these words to let things to go, that you're ever mindful of the covenant, that you command the covenant. You're going to lead us into the truth of that and have us experience it. So we just pray that we would let go of these situations and move forward so that we can enjoy you and we would stay with it until we do. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions about today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.